getting restless, anxious for that trumpet sound. When old Gabriel gives a signal to move up to higher ground, then with resurrection power we will rise in victory. Bidding this world goodbye forever, we will be home eternally.
Sooner than later, we'll see the Savior coming in glory. What a glad morn, singing with the saints and celebrating over on God's celestial shore. Maybe today or maybe tomorrow, we'll shout our troubles o'er. It will be sooner, sooner than later, we'll see the Savior Jesus our Lord.
Well, there is great anticipation. Soon He'll call and we will leave for that land of sweet forever, saying hello to perfect peace. There is no time to be complacent, we must wait and watch and pray. Can't you just feel the pull of glory? We will be going any day.
Sooner than later, we'll see the Savior coming in glory. What a glad morn, singing with the saints and celebrating.
Wow.
Over on God's celestial shore.
Celebrating God's celestial shore. Well, I have to stop that music. We'll come back to that later. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. We are excited to be with you again today, every Saturday. Open Bible Dialogue, Open Bible Telecast. Isn't it great to be heard all the way to Australia? All over this globe, wherever they've got a little phone, or, you know, one of these, anywhere in the world, if you got one of these, you can hear this program live, or you can go get it on the archives later, you know. What a joy, what a joy. Well, we got a tough program, yes, a tough program, but a good program. We want to talk today about the reprobate mind in the church world. The reprobate mind in the church world, and how there's no discernment anymore. There's no sense of conviction anymore. There's no fear of God anymore. It's like anything goes, everything goes. We had gobs of churches in Charlotte over the last days celebrating and defending the right of transgender people to go in public bathrooms of their choice in wherever and whatever. And I don't know whether you followed the Target problem or not, but according to the internet, they have lost $2.5 billion in value of their stock in the last few days, 10 days, 8 days, 10 days, whatever. They've lost, I mean, you're talking about $2.5 billion in the value of their stock, and they've just seen the beginning. Because I'm telling you, it will get worse than that. Millions of people will not any longer go to Targets, and if some other corporation wants to join them, then we'll join them in on the boycott. Because I'm not going to support that kind of thing. I hope you feel the same way. Now, when churches defend that, and we've got them all over Charlotte. I read the list last week. We didn't get that on the air, by the way, but I'm not going to go back and read it. But we'll send you a copy of all the churches in Charlotte that are defending the right of transgender, transvestite people to go into the bathroom of their choice. That means in their churches. That means in their churches. And I want to tell you, Governor Pat McCrory has really come out in defense of decency in North Carolina. We're protecting children. Friends, we're protecting ladies who happen to go into a public restroom, and little girls, maybe they are with mother, and sometimes that's not possible. Sometimes they're with daddy, and he can't go in, so he sends a little girl in because she's desperate, and there's an old big transvestite in there to intimidate her. Now, I don't know whether you are so crazy. I mean, to me, that's insanity. It isn't decency versus modesty. It's insanity versus sanity. You know, it really is crazy. It really is. Now, let me tell you why. This week I have really prayed for God to help me. I want to understand this. I want to have a concept of this that is real and that is pure and that is holy. I really want to understand it right. And here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He spoke to me this very words, and I knew it was by the Holy Spirit, that I'm giving them a reprobate mind, that they no longer are able to discern right or wrong, good or bad, pure or impure, either God or the devil. They have lost their mind. In other words, that's right. They've lost their mind. I don't mean they're crazy as we would understand crazy, but we're talking about crazy spiritually. They cannot discern spiritual matters. They cannot understand spiritual things. And that's where the church world is. I've been noticing for years now how many people who used to be spirit-filled Christians, who used to live a fundamental life, a clean life, a biblical life, and they've left all of that. And if you dare to say something to them about their new lifestyle, they'll get angry with you. They'll cut you down like a piece of paper. I mean, they really will. And that's not just them trying to be mean. That's because they are blind. That's because God has given them a reprobate mind, that they cannot discern right and wrong, good and evil, and what God is saying and what the devil is saying. Now, if you will understand this today with me, it will give you a concept of where the church is that will really help you. I mean, it will change your life, and it will help you deal with people, because where you work and wherever you go, you're having to deal with that today. And I promise you that people will get angry with you. Forgive me here. Something came loose, but it'll be okay. But let me tell you, they will get angry with you, but if you can understand the issue, if you can understand what you're dealing with, it will give you some degree of competence and a degree of compassion, because they really do deserve compassion. Now, when a person has a reprobate mind, can they repent? Well, I would say that's a possibility, but it's going to take a miracle. It's going to take Holy Ghost conviction. It's going to take maybe them getting in the Bible. It's going to take some real effort on their part, spiritually speaking, to get their brain cleared up. Because their brain becomes like a blur when it comes to God's things. You know, you've got a spirit of God within you that God gave you. And when you put that spirit of life out, that's the light of your conscience. That's the light of God's infinite wisdom that is given to every man in his creation. But you put that light out and blindness comes on. And you don't see things like you used to see them. Now, I'm going to take you today into Romans chapter 1. And I want you to understand, this chapter usually is not even referred to unless somebody's talking about homosexuality and lesbianism. But this chapter goes far beyond just a lesbian lifestyle or a homosexual lifestyle. Let me read you a few verses, and we'll take your questions and answers today, and we'll have a great time together. I promise you that. We'll have a great broadcast together, a great telecast together, whether you're listening to radio or you are watching the internet. I want you to know that the Bible is this infallible book. Hallelujah. You understand? This infallible book. And you can believe every word of it. Every word of it. And it will change your life. Now, let me tell you what I'm going to give you today. I'm preaching a sermon tomorrow that I am so excited about. I am overwhelmed, excited about my sermon tomorrow. I'm preaching this: a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's in the Bible, by the way. And I'm preaching that tomorrow because I want you to know there's divine healing in this great gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you get your brain straightened out with spiritual things, and you get your spirit within you, that God-given spirit within you, you get it charged with the life of Christ and full of the sweet work of the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, you'll be a happy person. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you are negative and doubtful and gloomy, a gloomy old gripe, you're going to kill yourself. Your body is going to respond to that emptiness in your spirit, and your life is going to be reduced in longevity as well as in happiness. Do you hear me? You full of griping and complaining and fault finding and criticism and every kind of dark thing you can imagine, and it's going to affect your physical body, and you're going to reduce your life, longevity speaking and happiness speaking. Do you understand that? And so tomorrow, I'm going right after that, because I want you to have a merry heart that doeth good like a medicine. And I'm offering that as a CD today. A CD that you can get a copy of. That sir hadn't been preached yet, and I'm just taking confidence that God's going to help me, and He's going to anoint me, and I'm going to have a message that's going to be genuine and real. I'm claiming that, and then I'm going to give it to you, and I'm offering it to you in advance. And what happens if I flub the dove tomorrow? Well, I'll send you the flub the dove sermon, okay? No, it ain't. The Lord's going to take care of me. I promise you that. He always has helped me. I don't deserve it. I'm telling you, my preaching is far above me. Far above me. I depend on Him. And He is wonderful. And His Holy Spirit is mightily faithful. Now, I'm giving you that offer so the people are standing by to answer your phone. I almost said ladies, but I got a lady and a gentleman today. Precious wife and a precious man. He's faithful to help. And so we give the Lord praise for both of them. And they're waiting for you to grab the phone. 1-800-338-7884. That's 1-800-338-7884, and the local number 704-391-0588. Use that number if you would. If you're anywhere in the area, 704-391-0588, and then send an email, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, I want to read you some scripture while you're calling. In a moment, I'll start taking your phone calls, and I promised on the Facebook, I will answer any question that's asked me. And that's, of course, with reserve, that if I don't know the answer, I'll tell you when I'll answer it next week. Is that fair enough? If I can. Now, I don't answer foolish questions, and I don't answer questions that, you know, have no meaning. I'm in this broadcast, the 43rd year that I'm on, and I'm not going to waste your time, because I care about you. You are important to me. Okay? I'd rather have your call than to have the biggest guest in this nation on. And that's the honest truth. I love you. Now let's go to the Bible. Romans 1. Romans 1. Wherefore God also gave them up. Wherefore God also gave them up. Now when God gives you up, friend, you're in a heap of trouble. And I'm going to tell you, there's multitudes out there already that God has given up. God has given you up because you are so stubborn about the Bible. We had a lady call a while ago. I invited her to bring a sick daughter to church, and she said she told somebody she was coming, and they begged her not to come here. They told her not to come here. We never have anybody who starts the church here if they tell a few people that at least two out of three, at least one out of two, maybe two out of four, maybe it's three out of five. I don't know, but something like that. Somebody's going to say, you shouldn't go to that church. I don't know why they say that. I am just an old granddaddy. That's really all I am, an old grandfather. I'm 80 years old, man. I'm not going to do you no harm. So come and hear the word of God. And bring that daughter, lady, that you had the person tell you not to come here, and we'll pray for her, and we'll believe God for the miracle. But let me go back to the Bible here, okay? Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them up to, listen, uncleanness. Notice that. To the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, isn't that horrible? That's homosexuality and lesbianism, or transgender. Same thing. This whole crowd is diabolically sick. It's demonic. It's from the demons of hell. These demons are spewing this filth all over our world. America now is getting a baptism of it. America now is getting a baptism of it. And preachers are joining in defense of it. That's amazing to me. That is amazing to me. It really is. Wait a minute. Let's go further. Verse 25, Romans 1 now. Who changed, and here's what they did. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Who changed the Bible, the Holy Bible, the truth of God, into a lie. Anytime you take any part of this Bible and you change it into a lie, you fit this right here. Anytime you take any verse in this Bible, any passage in this Bible, any book in this Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, and you change it into a lie, then the Bible says God will give you up to uncleanness, to dishonor your bodies between yourselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Now notice, and worshiped the creature, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, what do these people do? They started serving the flesh and man. They started doing what men wanted, sinner-friendly churches. Sinner-friendly churches. Make it comfortable for the sinner. Just read this week why the great Wycliffe Bible translators had to divide asunder between two arms of that same group, because one group were changing the Bible they were doing for the Muslims and eliminating the idea of the Son of God. Eliminating the idea of the Son of God so that they could print a Bible for the Muslims. They don't need a Bible like that. It would do them more harm than good. It would only add to their deception. How foolish can you get? How insane can you get? Changing the truth of God into a lie and serving the creature, flesh, man, what men want, what men desire, rather than God. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. If you want to know why the church world is turning to homosexuality and lesbianism just as deeply and profoundly as the secular world out there, is a very simple picture. Here's the picture. Here's the picture. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of the woman not into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust. Burned, notice that word, burned. Burned, you follow the lifestyle of homosexuality and lesbianism. They're burned with it. When it says burned, that means they're consumed. They're ate up. It takes hold of them. It possesses them. They come under the power of it. They can think nothing else. They can desire nothing else. It consumes them. It's an ugly picture, isn't it? I know it is. I know it is. For this goes, God shall give them up unto vile affection. Even their women did change that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. A man leaving the natural use of a woman. Leaving his wife. Leaving his girlfriend. Leaving his precious mother and his precious sisters. And going after flesh that is evil and wicked. And burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Now, there's several things here. You got people who leave the Bible, who leave the truth of the Bible. Now that's just as important to understand in this text as going after homosexuality and lesbianism. They go together. Now they're not always the same people. Sometimes there are people who leave the Bible and leave the truth of God who never go that far. And sometimes there's people who go that far who still claim that they believe the Bible, which is impossible, you know. I mean, really is. So please take this in a more general sense and not just a homosexual or sodomy sense. It is saying to anybody out there, when you leave the Word of God, you put yourself in a dire condition. You put yourself in a sad situation. When you turn away from what you knew was right. I talk with people all the time who used to be old-fashioned Bible-believing Christians. I talk to people who are Baptists, who used to preach and teach and believe the old Baptist doctrine of lordship living, lordship surrender, of godly living, of pure living. Oh, I remember when a Baptist person wouldn't dare go to church, a woman dressed like a man or a man dressed like a woman. I remember when that kind of stuff was not tolerated in the, I was raised Baptist, by the way, not tolerated in the Baptist church, and certainly it was not tolerated in the Pentecostal church that I was part of for many, 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 many years, over 40 of them. You know, I'm telling you, friends, we are dealing with something that's coming like a storm. Now, wherever you are in this spectrum, You may not be as far gone as some. You may still believe in some kind of decency. You may even be pretty much a fundamentalist, but you're kind of questioning these edges. You're questioning these limitations. You're questioning whether maybe that we ought to quit worrying about that. That's not that important. Everything in this Bible is important. Do you hear me? Everything in this Bible is important. This Bible is a holy book. This Bible is a holy book. Now, let's go on. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meet. Now, here's the verse I want you to really get. Verse 28. This is Romans 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, even as they did not like to retain God, the Bible, the standards of the Bible, the morality of the Bible, the truths of the Bible, the great doctrines of the Bible, whatever part of the Bible you forsake, friend, whatever part of the Bible you forsake, or that don't apply to our culture. This is a different culture. The Bible is not a cultural limited book. The Bible was not written for cultures. It was written for humans, for every one of God's generations. And it was written just as much. Don't let nobody tell you that. That's an argument I heard in my former denomination at the General Assembly when they stood up and tried to say, that's nothing but a cultural issue. Come on, friend. The Bible is never limited by cultural issues. It's the Holy Bible. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now that's the sentence I want to arrest you today. Even as they did not like to retain God's word, God's will, all of the God ideas, characteristics, everything God teaches and everything's in this Holy Bible, even as they did not like to retain that in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, not convenient to the Bible. Now, I know I'm going too long with this decalogue that I'm giving you, a monologue, I guess I should say, that I'm giving you. Decalogue would be with a discussion, but a monologue is one person. Now, I'm going too long, but I want you to understand, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Listen, they're being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness, and covetousness, and maliciousness, full of envy, full of murder, full of debate, full of deceit, full of malignity, full of whispering, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, truce breakers, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things are worthy of death. Now you know, he's talked a lot more than about homosexuality and lesbianism. No question, he was talking about that in the early part of this verse. But then he spreads it out and makes it concern with the whole of our life and the whole of the Bible as it relates to our life. And it tells us that if you go after any of this, and notice again, all kinds of words here, just despiteful, proud, blasphemous, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without natural affection. He'd already said unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malignity, full of envy, debate, deceit, malignity, whispering. Oh, friend, we're talking about every bit of that describes this generation. Look around you. Look at the kids go to college and they come back and they don't want to hear what you say. They don't want to be part of a Bible-believing church. They've been so compromised and so told that all of this is just old-time hooey until they just don't believe it any longer, and they're going to lose their soul and go to hell. Go to hell. I got grandbabies. If God don't help me reach them, they're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. Absolutely. What can I do? I'm screaming inside. I'm squalling inside. I'm dying inside. I'm weeping for them. I'm weeping for your kids too. I promise you. You say, Brother Chambers, you mean all this? Do I mean it? I'm poured out to this. I've told God the lately, just use me up, God, and then take me up. Use me up and take me up. Because we are at a dark time. It is incredibly dark. It is overwhelmingly dark. And there it is. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's the only time in the Bible? No, that's not the only time. You go back in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians, okay? You go back to 2 Thessalonians, and you see the same thing happening in 2 Thessalonians. Let me read you just maybe one verse here. I'm going to open up the lines and turn you loose, okay? And even him who's coming, I'm sorry. Let me get the right words. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they might, that they should believe a lie. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. Same thing as reprobate. Same thing as reprobate. That they should believe a lie. How many people do you know who are believing lies today? Almost anything some preachers will say. Television is full of them. Recently, there was two or three of them that start telling people you can get forgiveness after you take the mark of the beast. And that's a lie. Bonafide lie. There's no way to call it anything else. You know, and you've got that everywhere. Someone called me this week, or at least I called them, then they called me back. And their pastor, he's an academic preacher. I've got a list of things that's happening to this church world. And let me read them before I open up these lines. I know I'm going so long here. Preaching has become academic teaching. I mean, they're just teaching the academics of the Bible, the dead letter. Without an anointing, without any charge against sin, without any calling of repentance, without any promise of the blessed hope. They're just preaching academic stuff. Academic, good, but devoid of the old anointing of the Holy Ghost that called men to repentance. The atmosphere is entertaining. We're talking about the church world. The atmosphere is entertaining. There are no standards on moral issues. Everything is relative. Transgender is okay. Sodomy is no longer anything but a choice. The Bible calls it apostasy. The devil loves it. Worldly people love it. But it's going to keep you out of the rapture. And it's going to be a big crowd on that day after the rapture who have realized they've been deceived. And that's going to be a sad crowd. Well, I hope you are hearing me today. And now we open the lines. And I know I've got to go and see what might be on the webpage. On the emails. All right, I want to hear from you. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Can you call me quickly? I really do want to hear from you. The lines are wide open now. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. I want calls. I love calls. I love to talk with you personally and deal with you personally. You know, that's my delight. That's my joy. So grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. Local again, 704-391-0588. I want to hear from you. I want your calls. So grab your phone. I want to hear from you quickly. I want to make this last 35 minutes really exciting. I want you to hear everything. I want you to get your question answered. Have you ordered, by the way, that CD? Hey, I'm telling you, you're going to like that sermon. I hope I help a lot of people have a much more healthy life, a much more rich life. I'm telling you, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. All you got to do is study the opposite of a merry heart. Now, I'm having to use a different camera. We're having difficulty with the other, the cords. We'll have it straight hopefully next week. So I don't, when you see me turn my head, I'm trying to check the door and see which line somebody is on waiting for me. I want you to call. You're important, and you're on the air, and may I help you, please?
I don't think the public has any idea how extensive this stuff is. I've got a brother who's a professional musician in Nashville. He was telling me about his friends in Hollywood. He said, Hollywood is full of this stuff. I have a daughter, a son-in-law, who were recently in San Diego, and their cab driver told him, says, I saw so-and-so, a big He-Man actor, at a such-and-such a restaurant last night. And they said, where is it? And so they went there the following night, and they found out it was a gay bar.
Oh, boy.
that they say that it's just full of that stuff, our politics and everything. People don't have any idea. It's like ancient Rome. It became very popular to engage in this sort of thing.
It is so overwhelming what it has reached. And we have about 30 churches in Charlotte that are actually defending the right of transvestites and transgenders to go in the bathroom of their choice. Somebody told me yesterday that Starbucks had joined this, but I find no evidence of that. And so I say it only so if anybody out there knows that that has happened, that they will send me a text or an email to confirm it, because I found no evidence of it. I think maybe he had read it on Facebook, maybe, and somebody's just, speculating. I hope that's true. But I'm afraid that others are going to go that same route unless we make such a situation out of this this Target deal that they know better if they want to stay in business.
A man retired from the Methodist ministry a few years ago, and a relative of mine called and said, man, you ought to see him on Facebook. He's defending that Methodist preacher up in Pennsylvania that married his son and another man recently.
I mean, this was a Methodist church where the pastor married his son and a homosexual.
Yeah, and he said his own daughter, who was grown, got online and got after her daddy for attacking people that didn't have his same views on same-sex marriage.
Yeah. See, that's why I said earlier on the program, I had a lady called a couple of weeks ago, has granddaughter, I believe it was, in desperate need, demon possession, it sounded like, and she wanted to bring the daughter, or I invited her to bring the daughter, I think I started it, to bring your daughter and let us pray for her and see her delivered. And so she was going to come, and she told somebody, and they said, no, don't go to that church. Don't go to that church. I mean, I get that all the time. I literally get that all the time. And it boggles my mind. Because I'm just old-fashioned, God-fearing preacher.
Keep up the good work.
I don't know nothing else. I'd be out of business if I didn't do what God called me to do. Because, I got saved at 16. I never learned nothing else. He called me to preach. I was a good farmer. I put my wife's rose garden on the Facebook this week, and everybody went bonkers over it. It was so beautiful, because I'm a farmer at heart. I learned that, but God called me to be a preacher man. I love the Word. I love the Bible. It's a holy book. I love you too.
Thank you.
God bless your heart. God bless your heart. It's a joy to do God's things together. It really is. Now, I want to hear from you. The lines are wide open. And I will give you now a CD of my sermon tomorrow. It's my sermon tomorrow. In fact, I'd really rather you come hear it in person. That would be much the better. Come hear it in person. Come hear it in person. I'm preaching on, what did I say I was going to preach? Oh, a merry heart doeth, sorry. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I need to tell you, people are dying because of doubts and fears and apprehensions and griping and complaining. One man said, why do people feel like a dog at night? Because they've growled all day. Did you hear that? Why do people feel like a dog at night? Because they growled all day. Not bad, is it? Not bad. You on the air. May I help you, please? Well, where are you? I thought I had you. Maybe I didn't. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, Brother Joe, you're talking about Target. And if you're a Christian, if you support that, you're just as guilty. If you give rid of the leash, you give rid of the hole. If you go along with it.
The Bible makes that really plain in the Scripture. It was back where I was reading earlier. It says, who knoweth the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. If you have pleasure in wicked people, you are as guilty as the wicked people. Yes. Isn't that terrible?
And if the church body votes for people in office, that they just as guilty, so they just as guilty.
Well, we're going to be in a mess when it comes to November, aren't we? What are we going to do if somebody don't repent?
Brother John, I always heard you say it's time. Even though we still got a voice, we're supposed to stand for God and let God do the rest. But we're supposed to stand up and speak our voice for the Lord.
All right. I love you. I'm going to do my best, brother. I'm going to stand tall. God bless you. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, Pastor Chambers. Karen Porter calling from South Carolina. How you doing?
And you know I'm doing great today. I really feel wonderful.
That's great. I
can't wait for my sermon tomorrow.
I know.
A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We have a sick world. And if ever we need a supernatural move of divine healing, we need it. And this is the place for it to start. Get your attitude, Pyrrha. The Bible said be anxious for nothing. You know what that word anxious means? It means don't be all up in the air about nothing. And man, do I have to repent over that one. I've had to pray lately, Lord. Yesterday somebody got on my Facebook and messed up my timeline, put this junk on it. I took it down. They put it back again. I had to go in and unfriend them. Because I can't stand it. And I told my wife this morning, I said, it's worried me all night that I had to do that. I mean, I don't like that. I want to stand for right. I don't want nobody to be hurt. I don't want nobody to be lost. But you got to do what's right. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. And I'm having to learn that like never before in this hour. Go ahead now. I'm sorry.
Okay, I wanted to ask you something. I had seen an article on Google about Michelle Obama being a transgender and those daughters being adopted. What do you think about that?
I know nothing about it.
It said that she was born a man, Michael, and he showed a small clip of Obama making a speech, and he misspoke. He said, on behalf of me, Michelle, Malia, and Sasha, I mean Michael. And the guys out there, the Navy guys, was out there looking at each other like, did he just say Michael? And it's a pretty good article, and I thought to myself, I said, this is when it all started, really, is when Obama got in.
Well, I know nothing about that, so let's put that over on the side. Obama has been the most godless man that's ever sat in that White House. He has promoted everything in this way. It really did. He was the devil's tool to put America in the ditch of sodomy. He was the devil's tool. And man, has he done a job. And when Donald Trump came out of the day and he came against our law in North Carolina to keep transvestites and transgender people out of the ladies' restroom or the men's restroom in the case of a lesbian, it blew my mind. I mean, I want you to know I shut up right quick of saying anything good about that man. I'm praying for God to save him. I'm praying for God to fill him so full of a hunger after God. I've called his office twice and told him exactly that. And I don't know what he's going to do. But, I know one thing. I'm praying for God to give us a miracle before November.
I know. Amen.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Thank you for calling. Grab your phone, people, and call us 1-800-338-7884. I'm concerned about people with a reprobate mind. I know hundreds and thousands of people, myself, who I went to church with through the years, daddies, old-fashioned preachers' daughters and sons, and some of them just preachers themselves, who've compromised to the core. That old-time clean, godly living wasn't biblical. Oh, yes, it was. Oh, yes, it was. I know what that Bible teaches, and there's nothing more wonderful than a godly life. And if you used to live a separated life and you've forgotten it, you have been given a reprobate mind. And if you don't repent, you're going to be lost. I believe there are probably millions. I know there are millions of people in America who used to be old-fashioned Christians in Baptist churches or Pentecostal churches, and probably some of them Presbyterians and Methodists and whatever. You know, the churches don't decide anything for people anymore, because people do their thing wherever they go and whatever label they claim. But I'm telling you, if you live like that, the day will come when you will, would to God you didn't live like that. I promise you. And it may be too late to repent. You can repent now, though. I'm calling you to repentance. I'm not doing a program like this on the idea of reprobate minds that now control the church world. That's what we have. We have a reprobate church world. A reprobate church world that are just going right down the road to hell and taking multitudes with them. And most of these churches are full of religious people that would be, in many cases, good community-minded people, gentle people, many times good mommies and daddies, and sometimes great grandmas and grandfathers. And I love all these people. But if you do not go by this Bible, if this isn't the infallible word in your life, if you don't believe all of it and not just a little bit of it, if you are a smorgasbord Christian, that means you pick and choose in the Bible what you like and what you don't like. If you are a smorgasbord Christian, you're in trouble. And I'm calling you out of that trouble to repent. And the longer you live in that life, the more reprobate your mind will be, and the less possibility that you'll ever see the difference. You make a day, today could hear me and say, wow, is he right? I'm one of those. I've turned from so many things I used to love and so much I used to live. I used to be so full of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit used to be real in me. I'd go to prayer and the Spirit of the Lord would come upon me and I'd pray for maybe hours and just crying out and all of that's gone. I don't feel that anymore. I still like the emotion of a good song, but I don't know anything about the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. I'm calling you back. Are you hearing me? I'm calling you back, and I haven't even gone to see what might be on the internet, okay? See if there's anything there. I love you, friend. I really do, and I'm crying out to God for you with all of my heart. I want you to know the truth. I'm looking to see if anybody has sent me anything. I'll have to wait now for it to come up. I should have had it already on, and I forgot that. But listen, give us a call. Give us an email. Joseph Chambers, 1-800-338-7884, Joseph Chambers, Open Bible Dialogue, Open Bible Telecast, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. Now we're talking about a reprobate mind where sin is no longer even considered. Sin-friendly churches. Isn't that amazing? Can you believe, right before the coming of the Lord, the church world has become full of sin-friendly churches? I'm amazed at it. I really am. Sin-friendly churches. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, the Word of God is still the straight, inspired truth. Do you know that? The Word of God is still the straight, inspired truth. Well, don't see anything here for me. If you have an email and you want to send me one, I'd love to hear it. I'll do my best to treat you good and treat you right. I'd love to hear what you're saying. I'd like to hear your questions, and I'm open to that. Grab a phone, 1-800-338. Not going to wait on this email now. Grab a phone, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. The local number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. It is a joy to bring you this telecast and this Open Bible Dialogue. And I'm telling you, reprobate is big out there. But I want you to know the grace of God is more wonderful than anything you will ever understand in your life. The grace of God, the love of Christ for your soul, the grace reaching into your heart to draw you to himself, that he might have his way in your life. Oh, I'm telling you, today I'm here doing this program because God loves you. And because whatever state your mind is in right now, whatever blur that you see or feel about spiritual things and righteous things, whatever blindness that may have fallen upon you, I want you to know God still is reaching for you. And he'll forgive you if you'll just give him a chance. He will forgive you if you'll just give him a chance. And you are on the air. And may I help you, please?
Yes, I was just wanting to call to see if you would pray for our children and our teens who are having to share bathrooms with these people. They don't think they get it. I don't think they really understand.
Well, do you know of some place that children are having to share the bathroom?
Well, you know, like Target, and there are,
But mothers should not take their kids to Targets now. But I agree with you. I am praying for the kids, because many times those parents are unbelievers, and they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. Many parents who take their kids all kinds of places anymore, they are completely reprobate themselves. And I'm not saying they can't be forgiven. I'm not saying they can't come back. I know there's a state of reprobate, a delusion state where it's too far gone to come back. And I don't know where that is. I'm not the judge of that. I just know, yes, I will pray for the children because I am deeply disturbed for our children. How about schools?
Yes, me too. Yes, exactly.
How soon will Charlotte Mecklenburg, and I'm expecting that to maybe happen this year, They probably will do it quietly. They probably won't say a word if they can help it. They probably won't say a word if they can help it. It is just going to get dark.
Yes, it is.
I'm telling you, you better find a good Christian school. See, if you don't find a Christian school now, when they do decide that, all right, when they do, it's going to be, hey, all my lines are lined up here. When they do decide that, they'll call you everything in the world if you take your kids out. But you'll have to, or send them to hell, or whichever you choose.
Yes, you do. I am so worried for today's children. And, you know, I do believe that people can repent, you know, and I'm not saying that I don't want to share a bathroom with a transgender person, because how would I know? But you know what?
Well, you would probably know. I've never seen one yet that you didn't know. I went to the bank one time, and one of them was standing in front of me. And I was so overwhelmed, I finally said to them, "What are you?" And that was the wrong question. They didn't like that question at all. But, and I didn't mean to. I wasn't trying to be mean. I was just, it will so overwhelm you when you see it the first time right in your face until you won't know what to say.
I'm afraid of, you know, it's not so much the transgendered that I'm, you know, I'm worried about, of course, but it's the ones who aren't transgendered that just want to go in the bathroom.
Exactly. Your girl goes in the bathroom with another girl, and she's a lesbian. And every lesbian and every homosexual loves to find anybody they can to get involved with, and they love to involve themselves with little children. Nobody loves to involve themselves with little children like homosexuals and lesbians. Little young flesh just fits their bill.
You are exactly right.
Isn't that sick?
Let's pray for our children. Let's just pray.
I promise to pray for our children, and I promise to pray for God to open the minds of adults, and I pray for parents to get their kids in Christian schools. Good, solid Christian schools. I mean, where they know there's no predators walking the hallways. I announced our school this week on Facebook, and I said our school is a place where there's no predators. Well, after your children.
Right.
If I ever found one of them in the hallways of this building, I will physically throw him out the door.
Wow.
I will. You believe me, don't you?
Thank you. Yes, I do.
I've caught people by the collar of the neck and took them to the door, and they're yelling at me, and I get them in the back of the belt, the back of the collar, and I'm telling you, I can have them out the door before they know what hits them. I had a couple of men walking through the parking lot recently. Boy, they was big old dudes. They got up in my face, and I said, "Sir, have you ever had a hold of a Holy Ghost-filled man?" That was the words I asked him, and I walked up in his face when I asked it, and did you know he turned around and left?
Wow.
God's a good God, lady.
Yep.
And there's still some good people in this old world of ours. We're praying for your children. Thank you, and God bless you. I got to take another call. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, Pastor Chambers.
Hey, my friend.
Hi, this is Eric, one of the members of your church.
Okay, Eric.
And I just have to call this, Pastor Chambers.
Okay, go ahead, Eric.
I just have to tell you, like I said, I was listening to your radio station today. It was the first time I listened to it. I got the time to listen to it, and I just wanted you to know I'm very grateful, and I think it's a blessing that I'm a part of your church. I finally hear the truth of what's going on in this world. And that's something I was hungry for, looking for Jesus. Finally know Jesus, and also what's happening in this world is the revelation. People need to really know about these things, because this what I think you was the one that was saying, this is the time and these are the days, you know, it can come any moment. And you talk about rapture ready.
You're blessing me, young man.
It pumps my heart, Pastor Chambers. It pumps my heart. I want to be rapture ready. I want to be ready for the rapture. I know it's going to happen anytime soon, because look at the way that things are going with the HB2 laws and the transgenders, and they want to go to the doctor to get it changed. And
the changing rooms, that was amazing to me when Target said our changing rooms are open. Go in there and oh brother, what a situation. Thank you. Thank you, my brother.
Oh, The rapture will come.
It will come, and I love you. And you tell Angela I love her too.
Moses, you know, took the people out of Egypt. You know, at the Sodom and Gomorrah, God's wrath. He put his wrath. God, I know that when the trumpets come, when we go up, he's going to clear all this up. He's going to take care of all that stuff.
He's going to take care of every bit of it. And when we come back after 7 years, we're going to have a heavenly place to live in 1,000 years before even eternity begins. Can you imagine 1,000 years of peace on the earth where we rule the world under Christ, and then eternity begins with a heavenly Jerusalem and a new heaven and a new earth filled with nothing but righteousness. Brother, we're in for a happiness like humankind has never known. I love you.
I love it, Super. I got a question, Pastor Chambers.
Okay, hurry up now. I got calls waiting. Go ahead. You're too important. I want your question.
Okay, some people are homosexuals, right? They think that they're like holy. They don't think they. Some they say, "I'm blessed. I'm blessed." And sometimes
they think they were born that way.
Huh?
They think they were born that way.
I know, and sometimes they get the upset, like, how they say they're blessed. They're going by against the Bible.
Well, that's just words, brother. That's just words. I promise you, I read a book one time on "Yet Gay Is Not Gay." It was all about the intrigue, the heartache, the broken lives, the death. You follow their lives, and a homosexual man has reduced his life no less than 40% in longevity. 40%. 40% of a homosexual's life is removed and lost because of his lifestyle and his uncleanness. And so it's no question. You asked a good question. I move quickly. I love you much. See you in the morning. You on the air. May I help you, please? I lost that one. You on the air. May I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you? Well, is there nobody there? I thought there was. I know I was on so long here with all my callers. Give us a call. We're here to help you. We're here to be a blessing. Our lines are open, and I want to hear your calls. Let me see what we got. Oh, brother, I got all kinds of you on the internet. I can't get to all of them, I'm sure. The Bible says we can be tempted, but we should not yield to the temptation. So whether someone has an adulterous or a homosexual thought, but doesn't yield to it, this thought, they have not sinned. Is that correct? Well, in a degree, that is correct. If you do not yield to any temptation, then you're not sinful of that temptation. Now, why would someone be attracted to the opposite sex like that, to really want to have sex with another man? That there is a problem there, but I don't know how to determine it. I don't know the depth of it, but I know as long as he doesn't yield to it and he keeps his life clean, he doesn't become a part of the homosexual lifestyle, then he's not guilty of the sin. I do know that. But if I was such a person and I had those kind of feelings, I would know what I need is to be washed in the blood. Because the blood of Jesus would completely destroy every bit of that. If you get washed in the blood, you will not want to have sex with another man or another woman if you are either the man or woman. I promise you, if you get washed in the blood. So that kind of temptation is a temptation that goes with maybe living in that among those kind of people and being around those kind of people and maybe being raised in that kind of an atmosphere. And that temptation would probably become more likely. But when the blood of Jesus washes you, I'm here to tell you, when you're sanctified by the blood of Jesus, you do not want that kind of lifestyle. The blood of Jesus will clean that up. It really will. Thank you. That was a good question. I am so glad you asked it. You on the air, may I help you, please? I'm sorry. You on the air, may I help you, please?
Yes. Brother Chambers, there's Bethel and there's El Bethel. If El Bethel is not in Bethel, then it's not a church. We're promoting homosexuality and all this stuff. El Bethel is not that.
Well, you can be assured, a minister that would support that and accept a same-sex marriage or a transgender lifestyle, that preacher he's probably never been converted. If he ever was, he went against the God that saved him, and he became a reprobate, and now he's living the reprobate life and defending the reprobate lifestyle. And so that's pitiful, but there's a lot of them out there. Do you know that? What was it, T.D. Jakes? T.D. Jakes just went on and announced, I saw that. He announced that he now believes it's okay to be a homosexual. Isn't that pitiful?
It's running rapid.
It's running rapid, and you haven't seen nothing yet. Any part of the church that has left the old-fashioned way and has left the infallible Bible will just move in that direction, not slowly anymore, quickly. You know, the old preachers used to say, when the end comes, it will come fast. When the darkness of apostasy grips this world, it will come like a storm, and we are in the storm right now.
They have a fear of God in this, but they deny the power thereof.
That's exactly right.
Away.
What I just said was good. I never thought about that. That a person who has the temptation of homosexuality, a lesbian lifestyle, they've been running with the wrong crowd. They've been hanging around the wrong places. If they don't yield to it, they're still not guilty of the sin. But they must get saved and get rid of that appetite, because that's an appetite of hell.
That's true.
God bless you. Okay, I got that. God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please? All right, I'm sorry. Give us a call. We're here to be a blessing. Maybe this is it. You on the air. May I help you, please? Yes.
Isn't you here in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? I just want to first...
Hey, do me a favor. Back off of your speaker a little bit. You're too close to your mic there. Back off of your phone and go ahead.
Okay, I would just like to say greetings unto you, Pastor Chambers, and your ministry at Fall Creek. I appreciate your boldness and your witness for our Lord Jesus Christ, brother, and may the Lord just continue to richly bless you and anoint you as you continue to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, sir, and pray that people will not discourage people who say, I'm going to go to the Paul Creek Church. I face it all the time. And I know I can't do anything about it. I don't know who them people are. But because I am an old-fashioned man standing on these issues that I stand on, it doesn't make me anything but a man who loves the Bible. There hasn't been many years when all the preachers stood on these things. All the good ones, all the main ones. Do you remember? How old are you?
I'm 59, Pastor.
Do you remember when you were 20 how most preachers preached the same thing I'm preaching?
Yes, sir. They preached the uncompromised word of God. But, Pastor, we live in a society today, and a lot of ministry, they really got the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may God have mercy upon their souls. Brother, you continue to preach the truth without compromising it, brother, because God's going to continue to keep you, and he's going to continue to anoint you as you be faithful to him and his word.
Thank you, sir, and I promise you, I will be nothing but faithful. I love it. I've been praying, God, use me up, and then take me up. Sometimes I get hungry to go. I'm so sick of this mess. I am so sick of how sick it is. And I'm longing for that heavenly city. And the Bible said the day would come when they would pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. How many of you will scream it with me right now? Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
I love you.
You call us, friend. It's a joy. We have had a program. Great day. I pray that somebody has been moved out there. And if you have any form, any little form of reprobate in your life, and you've turned away from any great truth of this Bible, turn around and go back quickly. You don't have much time to turn around. You don't have much time to get back in the center of where you were raised, the old godliness, purity, righteousness, Holy Ghost filled living. If it was Baptist, then that lordship living, that lordship surrender. You know, whatever it was, go back. Back to the Bible, to the truth of the Bible, because you don't have much time. The coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. You on the air, may I help you, please?
Yes, sir. On the thing about Target, I don't see why everybody just don't quit patronizing them.
Well, everybody that's got any degree of spiritual life has already quit, unless they don't know it.
Going over there and holding up signs and stuff.
Well, that would be fine to go over there and hold up signs. I've been wanting to do that myself.
Yeah, best thing is just to put them out of business.
Well, I think that they are suffering more than they imagine, and it's only getting started. I can just imagine 6 months from now, it's probably going to be a sad picture for them. But I pray it will. God help us. And God bless you, sir. You know, it's a delight to know this wonderful Bible. Did you know that? Now, we're here, and we can help any one of you. I don't have but 3 minutes, three or four. How many minutes have I got? How many minutes have we got before the rapture is the real question. Could he come today? You know, he really could. Now, that sermon tomorrow, that sermon, "A Merry Heart Doeth Good Like a Medicine." It just seems like to me everybody in this city ought to want to hear that sermon. You want to be healthier. You want to have a physical body that is strong. You want to have a happy mind. You want to be pure in your thoughts. You want to be full of joy. I sometimes I get so full of joy that I just get plain silly. You know, I get giddy. I mean, I'm really full of joy. I love my Father. I love His grace and His love. It's a joy to belong to Christ. It's a joy to belong to Christ. Here's a question. Let me see if I can find it here. Will God bring the church back to Him? Well, that's a good question. Will God bring the church back to Him? He will bring those who will listen to Him back to Him. Those who listen to Him. But the Bible makes it plain. This world is going to have apostasy. But we can also have revival. And I'm praying for Holy Ghost revival. I'm praying for Holy Ghost revival. Now, any more calls? Let me see if I've missed anybody. I don't know what's... Where's my... Am I on the wrong one here? All of a sudden, I had so many people. Well, here we are. Great day. I can't answer them all. I'm sorry. No way. No way. But I'm here to be a blessing to you. Many things are happening here, and I don't know what all is going to happen. The Bible says we can be tempted. It surely does. Anybody can be tempted. Anybody. And I agree that a person tempted, regardless of what they're tempted to do, if they don't do it, they're not guilty. But you do need to look at where you're hanging. You need to look at the kind of people you're running with. You need to look at the kind of, maybe in some cases, the way you were raised. And you may need to be cleansed of all that filth that is in the background. You're like a great you're like a great cushion just absorbing all of this stuff, and that can create all kinds of feelings and emotions, but the blood can wash you as white as the riven snow. Did you know that? The blood can wash you as white as the riven snow. Now, we've got to close it here. We don't have a little time. Oh, we're gone. Oh, the radio, I guess, is already over. But we're on internet. I love you. It's been a delight and a joy to be with you today. I mean, bringing you this has been my delight. I love you. Don't miss next Saturday, and don't miss that sermon in the morning. I really want you to hear that sermon in the morning. Very, very important. Very, very important. You are wonderful. You are wonderful.